Hey everybody, welcome to this week's Q&R. Today I have with me Pastor Wayne and Pastor Adam. We are so glad that you joined us and that you sent in your questions. A couple sort of groundskeeping things. First off, you see that we don't have computers up here, so Pastor Lou is with you all in the comments, so make sure that if you're here that you just hop on and shout out to him. If you have questions, you can ask those in the comments, but we can't see them because we don't have the computers. But he could answer them, or we can come back to them next week. If for some reason you don't really feel comfortable writing them in the comment section, you can email us those at questions@broadwayunited.org, and we will start with those next week. And so today, Pastor Adam is going to share with us a little bit about sort of what this is, but also take note, write this down, our new series of Wednesdays at Broadway on Wednesday nights will be launching on April 18th. It will run for 5 weeks through May 16th, and Pastor Adam is going to sort of share a little bit about that too.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, one of our leaders said something to the effect of, what if the church could be a place where people could really come together, and whether they agree or not, be a place that unites us in a world that sometimes divides us? And they probably said it better than that. But that really has kind of stuck with us in the last couple of years, and we've done a few things like our gathering on Sundays at 11 to create places for that to happen. And then this setting is like that. So again, sort of we're repeating ourselves, but what we're doing here is more like dialogue than debate. We're not trying to correct each other, and that doesn't mean we don't have opinions about things or a faith stance about whatever the question is. It's just the point of it is not to use, you know, my perspective to try to fix or control someone else. And that is an intentional thing, because there's a lot of that out there and about. Social media kind of makes it, you know, hard to do debate. I mean, to do dialogue, and kind of forces us in debate sometimes. So this is an intentional step toward that. And so then Wednesdays at Broadway, coming up on April 18th, will be a chance for us to do that in a super intentional way in groups, in a group setting. So we've done Wednesdays at Broadway before. This one will be a little bit different. We'll be around tables, which we've done in the past. But at those tables, we'll talk about, you know, how do you interpret Scripture, and how do we do that distinctively as United Methodists in a way that helps us talk about things that are sometimes hard? Or how do we have discussions that are really holy conversations, not just a debate?
Right.
So a lot of it will be learning how to just talk about things. And then we'll spend some time talking through some tough topics. So that'll be 5 weeks, starting April 18th. And one of the things that we're going to be looking for, and so that you can put this in the comments, is we want to sort of gather from the congregation, from people, some of the subjects that you'd like to talk through in that kind of safe, holy conversation setting. And we can't guarantee we would get all of those, but we want to take those, you know, under consideration as we're planning. So if somebody wanted to hear us talk about violence, for example, which is a topic that has come up a lot in here already and something that's out and about, then we could do that. Or, you know, just pick any social issue that, you know, people sometimes argue about. And then we would just do it differently. We would discuss that, but model for the world what it looks like to do that in a way that actually brings us closer together. Whether we change our perspective or not is not the point, but the unity that comes in the body of Christ and loving each other like Christ, that would be the goal. So
yeah, the goal is not to win the argument or even to settle the argument, but it's to create community and to believe that there's more truth in community than there is in any individual person. Mm-hmm. And so it's to affirm that this is the body of Christ that we're part of, and that how important that is. And another thing we're going to do a little different this time is we're also going to do it at Greenwood campus as well as here at the Melrose campus. So you'll be able to choose which one of those places you want to participate in that.
Yeah,
pretty
so
exciting.
If that's something that you're interested in, just a safe place to sort of talk through some of the tougher topics that we have in the world right now, make sure you put that on your calendar, and we will have signups that will be coming out in a couple of weeks where you can sign up to do that. As Pastor Adam shared, if you have certain topics that you would like to discuss in those safe environments, please feel free to put those in the comment section in today's feed, or you can also email those to questions@broadwayunited.org. And we will we'll see you April 16th at Greenwood
18th.
And at Melrose. 18th. Sorry, I'm already confused. I said I had it down a minute ago, and obviously I don't. But anyway, so we are are going to start with our questions. And the first question that we have is actually from last week, from last week's reading and then from last week's sermon, not 2 days ago, but the Sunday before. Numbers 28 and 29, there was a whole lot in there about offerings. Why is this, and should we be partaking in these? In the sermon, there was also some discussion on the holidays that we tend to celebrate now. And can you sort of share a little bit more about that?
Okay, so the offerings, you know, as we're reading through the chronological Bible reading, and so you've got Leviticus that has all these different kinds of offerings. I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago, a guilt offering, and a fellowship offering, and a wave offering, which were pretty specific to their practice in the tent of meeting. And so we do have offerings, actually, as a part of worship. I think we wouldn't say, oh, let's just go do it the way they did it, but I think it is important for us to kind of claim that moment as something that's really important. There's a couple ways that offering comes into worship. Maybe the most obvious is that we take up an offering every time we gather.
Every time.
A few weeks ago, I almost forgot, and you know, people are, you know, like, it is a wave offering, then they're like, hey, got our offering now. But so that, you know, that could be just be like we're collecting money because you know, that's just what you do because you have to, you know, pay the bills and keep the lights on. But anybody who's been on the generosity journey knows that it's far more than that. That it's a way in participating in God's doing, and that's, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool in that passage there. It talks about there would be an offering every day. There'll be an offering every week. There'll be an offering every first day of every month. It's like God, this is God's initiative that, hey, we're going to get together mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. And every week we're going to remind ourselves. Every month we're going to have a day. First month of the year, we're going to spend a whole week remembering mm-hmm. that we are together in this.
Right.
Every seventh month, there's going to be a day when I'm going to remind you that everything's forgiven. Mm-hmm. The Day of Atonement, it's all wiped out. We all start over. Then we're going to spend a week celebrating that. And so this idea of offerings, and I think we is a, I think the lesson there may be to remind ourselves of those mm. truths.
Right.
Build those reminders into our life. Those offerings that we,
right.
those, you know, if we talk about spiritual disciplines, and it's in terms of reading your Bible and praying, and that's not so much about accumulating information as it is about reminding ourselves we're in a relationship every morning or every night or every day. And, you know, not as a rule or a law, but you know, this was God's idea. He wanted us to know every day mm-hmm. that He is with us. Here's a
yeah.
way you can remind yourselves and each other.
Yeah,
and
that's
so it's
good.
Pretty cool. What that was His idea first.
Yeah,
before ours.
Well, and we live in a world that so like the offering of a goat or a bull
right.
or something seems foreign, but the idea I don't know that world very well, but I have lived the world where I offer resources, you know,
right.
and try and have tried to let God guide me, mm-hmm. through, you know, in a generosity journey as a discipline.
Right.
And so from my perspective, speaking to that, there is, I mean, I think there is a connection to, as our relationship with God drills down to every level of life and our stuff, our checkbook,
right.
every level,
yeah.
that that's where it gets real.
Yeah.
Right.
In our calendar, we
in
offer
our calendar.
Time, you know, whether it's Sunday morning or at your, you know, conversations, we offer all those to God. These, like I said, all these opportunities we have to offer those to Him. In a disciplined way. We
right.
do it intentionally. And maybe that's part of the idea, too, is that it's not just haphazard, but I intentionally live my life as an offering
mm-hmm.
to God.
That's right.
These minutes of this day or this conversation that I'm going to have with this person or this event that I'm going to participate in, I intentionally offer that to Him. Whatever, you know, it looks like or comes outside
right.
the issue, but the offering is.
So like Romans 12 begins, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies
right.
as a living
yeah.
sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's your spiritual or reasonable act of worship.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's what
right.
we're getting to. Like,
yeah.
And then, of course, the connection between the Old Testament and us is, of course, Jesus,
yeah.
who is that offering,
right.
God offering Himself
yeah,
to
first.
Us
right. yeah.
first.
Yeah.
Which, you know, just takes the whole idea and kind
right.
of explodes
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't maybe go back and recreate those offerings, but there is a connection between those scriptures in the Old Testament and then Christ and the offering of Himself
yeah.
for our sins. right. and then how we live our lives. Right. And so every day, every week, there's right. a rhythm to...
Right, yeah. And maybe that's the idea, is to create a rhythm in our lives that is consistent and who we are.
Yeah.
Not just a practice, but it becomes...
It's part of who we are. Yeah. 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 Yeah, so that guides how we live our days.
Right.
So that we don't forget that we're offering ourselves to God.
And so that intentionality becomes natural.
Yeah.
It's just who I am, it's what I do.
Not something you have to do, something you get to do.
Right, yeah. So that every moment becomes an opportunity to offer something and to be part of what God is doing.
That's great.
I think he initiates that, and that's where he wants to go with it, I think.
That may not be what they were asking at all. But
I learned a lot.
One part of that question was, then, what about the holidays we celebrate? And that, I think, was in reference to a specific thing that I said, that sort of as Americans, we don't maybe have an equivalent holiday for the Passover, which has both the sort of, hey, we're freed from slavery, but also all these ways to reenact the bitterness of that slavery or the anxiety of when they're leaving Egypt. And so it kind of has both the despair and celebration piece to it. And maybe as Americans, we don't have that holiday. I think maybe in the Christian sense of things, we do, as we celebrate, especially as we're coming to Easter, that's the high moment of our year. One of the things we say is every Sunday is a reenactment of the celebration of Christ's resurrection. Every Sunday is a little Easter, but there is a journey up to it. And Lent is a structured way for us to... have our own holiday, for lack of a better term, a way of living into the story. As we go through Holy Week, we're getting ready on March 25th is Palm Sunday, and then that leads us into a whole week of a different kind of, it's sort of in Lent and then Holy Week, the Passion of Christ. Those aren't really high happy days. They're acknowledging the suffering of God through Christ. And feeling that,
right.
So I think that's pretty powerful. Not a lot of other, you don't get to do that a lot of other places.
Right.
And so our Maundy Thursday service is reenacting the table where communion was offered and Christ offered His blood and His body, and then we sort of feel that on Good Friday and Saturday, and then come Sunday ready to celebrate because we've been through the whole experience.
Right. I think. We do it somewhat. We don't emphasize as much as some churches, but more than others, I guess. The whole liturgical year is kind of a remembering of this rhythm of living with God, where we celebrate and we mourn and we celebrate and we have acts of repentance. And we try to incorporate that into worship, but also into the whole year, so that there are reminders of, you know, we have Advent and Pentecost and Lent and Kingtide, all those things that help us to remember. They're kind of Christian holidays or special days where we remind each other of those things too and go through this process.
Yeah, and I think there was a time where we kind of lost the significance of that, but I feel like people are looking for that kind of structure so that it's like more than Black Friday. It's like shopping is a defining holiday for us now. Like we feel like some of us are saying we need a little more than that, right? Consumerism, is creeping into every part of our lives, and we want to restructure our calendars back to what we were saying earlier, so that there's a flow to life that's more than that shallow kind of existence that can so easily happen.
Yeah, because the world is so secular, or we need those reminders that every moment is sacred, every day, every encounter, every conversation is sacred. And so that's just one of those ways we remind each other. It doesn't make it so, it just reminds us that it is so.
Yeah. So. Well, sort of leads to the next question, maybe.
Yeah, it does a little bit. But before I get to it, he said something, Maundy Thursday. I'm going to just plug this real quick.
We've got lots of plugs today.
Yeah, we got all kinds of plugs. Maundy Thursday, as I mentioned, it is probably one of my absolute favorite services that we have here at Broadway. And so you should put that down. The date is March 29th. I think it's the 29th. It's the Thursday. It's the 29th, right?
Thursday, yes. Holy Week.
The 29th at 6:45. Come out and sort of take part in this. I think Adam said, you know, how it gets dark, right? And then we have Good Friday, and then we come in on Sunday and we can really celebrate. And so I hope that you'll be able to join us for that service. It's a very, very special one, especially if you've ever been here. You should come try it out. Check it out. Okay, sorry. On to the next one. This week's sermon was on Out of Despair and Into Celebration. We just sort of talked about this a little bit. How are both of these words, despair and celebration, important parts of our spiritual life?
Well, the Maundy Thursday service is an example that if you just come to church on Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, you miss the despair part, the mourning part of the story. And so that Maundy Thursday enables us and gives us a chance to participate in that. And we talked about this in the sermon last Sunday, at least I did, about the idea that there is a great deal of mourning and sorrow in our world. And as Christians, sometimes we want to ignore that or escape that. We use our faith as an escape or to somehow to separate us from it, when really our faith enables us to enter into that, to share the sorrow of the world, not so that we'll be depressed, but so that we can bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters, so that we can identify with the people that God identifies with, those who sorrow, and weep with those who weep, and mourn with those who mourn, to recognize the injustices that are real in our world, and to care about those, because I believe God weeps over those as well, and to have the courage to enter into those. And I think Brené Brown talks about if you numb the bad feelings, you also numb the good ones. And so this idea of despair and celebration, until we've experienced that despair of the world, then we can't really experience the celebration of Easter or of faith or of deliverance. And that's the picture from the sermon, was that the despair of that moment of having their backs against the wall when they wanted to, had rather die in Egypt than where they were. And then when God delivers them and they celebrate God's deliverance, without that despair, they would not have had the celebration. And so I think that's kind of the idea that our God is big enough for both, for not just minor despairs like when the car breaks down or when you know, something happens that we didn't plan on financially, or we don't get the job we want or whatever, but God is big enough for the despair of violence in our world, of racism, of children who die hungry, all those things. God is big enough for those, if and we can enter into those in the hope that we can be God's presence in them.
So. Yeah, I think that, you know, one way to think about the despair is just like, are we going to be honest with with how things are? Yeah. I was talking to a pastor, a friend, maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and sort of this question comes up for a lot of us. He said, you know, you don't know what to do about so many things that we hear about.
Right.
And I said, you know, we've been talking about this some, and I don't think we, you know the answer, but maybe we jump to the answer too quickly, and the first step is actually despair.
Right.
Like, we shouldn't say things are okay that are not okay,
right?
Or when people around us are suffering, you know, we see this from a pastoral care side often, but we don't know what to say when someone gets a diagnosis of cancer or is, you know, is dying. And so much in us wants to, like, say something that's going to make them feel better or make me feel better, if I'm honest. And there's really nothing to say. You know, just recently I was in a really awful situation. Someone had died. And, you know, just in those moments of despair, the only right thing to do is just to mourn, to grieve. Yeah. There's no word that's going to fix that.
Right.
And I think, Wayne, you know, working with hospice, you know, you begin to learn that tendency to try to fix it is really about us. And there's something sacred when you enter those just real raw moments of grief and just are present with people. That's powerful.
That's a good point, because there really is something sacred about mourning.
Yeah.
And so we meet God in those places. If that's the desire and the what we're watching for, we think that we discover God in those high and holy moments. But I think the truth is that we discover God, we meet Him, encounter Him in those really down, grief-stricken moments just as much.
If we're honest.
If we're
able to be courageous and honest and not try to push through or push somebody else through. And so often things we say, if you aren't careful, is to try to just tell somebody to get over it or move on, when we just don't need to do.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage to simply be present and to stand in those places.
It takes a lot of courage.
With people.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a lot of emotional energy.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that scenario I went to a week ago, I mean, I left and I would just like, I was back home, they were watching a movie and I was like fixing a sandwich and I just started like crying, like, where, yeah. You know, it's we don't do it because right. it's emotionally exhausting to right. grieve. Yeah. We'd rather feel better, but that's more numbing
right.
than it is yeah. really experiencing.
Or ignoring it, or, you know, finding excuses not to be there, or like
to escape it,
to try to fix it.
Yeah.
And even to leave those situations with the sense that I made a difference or I did something good.
That's not the point, is
right.
it?
The point is to go home and weep,
yeah.
to carry some of that grief with
yeah.
us. Not to fix it, but to share it. And I think that's what we do when we go home and we weep, mm-hmm. is we take some of that sadness with us.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to be willing to do, is not fix it, but walk in it, live it, share it, carry
to be
it.
Present, to be present for each other
yeah.
in that way. I mean, what a gift.
Yeah.
And then I think sometimes when we're doing that, what we try to do is we feel like you have to downplay the despair so that you can celebrate.
Yeah.
And I think in what we're talking about, or I think what God teaches us, that actually you do both more,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have to. You don't. You know, like that book I referenced a few weeks ago by Kate Bowler. She said, like, people kept saying to her, at least, you know, because she was diagnosed with, you know, terminal cancer, at least, you know, you still have your son. At least, and she's like, you don't have to downplay.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
you know, like, I've got good stuff in my life. We can celebrate that and still also despair
right.
that I'm dying. You, you know,
yeah.
the at least thing.
Yeah.
This doesn't That's, need. You know, we need to say
right.
that.
Right.
And we, again, we've sort of, from a pastoral side, have been in situations where people are mourning, and then they're laughing, and then they're mourning, and then there's some ordinary moments in a hospice room or a hospital
right.
room where, like, people are checking Facebook.
Yeah.
That's just life. It's
yeah.
all of those things.
Right.
It's the right. both extremes and a lot in the middle, and God's present in all of
right.
that.
Yeah, and we think sometimes that we go through life in these ups and downs. It's all good and it's all bad, but really it's all at the same time, in the
yeah.
same moments. Alternates from one to the other.
One doesn't water down the other.
Exactly, yeah. And God is present in all of them. That's where we find Him.
I like that. Yeah. All right, our next question. In the scripture, the people have finally arrived at the promised land. Why does God warn them about forgetting Him now that they are in the land?
Yeah, so, like, there's a lot of human nature. And, like, I think as I was reading it, one of the things that struck me this time was that, you know, they have the experience early on when they come out of Egypt where they send the people into the promised land to check it out, you know, and Joshua and Caleb come back and say, hey, it's great, we should do this, and then the other 10 people sort of manipulate the crowd so that they don't go, and then that's why they wander in the desert. So now they're coming 40 years later, a generation later, and they're sort of reminding themselves of that. Remember what we did last time when we got here? We didn't have faith, and look where that got us. So... So there's that sort of like a reminder of their failure,
mm-hmm.
you know, so they can learn from it.
Right.
And then, so also on the other end of the extreme, that scripture says, like, when you get there into the land of wells you didn't dig and houses you didn't build, in your prosperity, also don't
right.
forget me.
Yeah.
And I think that's there for a reason, because that's sort of human nature. It's what
yeah.
we do. Mm-hmm. When things are going well, we don't pray prayers. We kind of say we did it ourselves. We claim... You know, it's just human nature to say, I got this now, I don't need you. And
right.
people will say, and I've done this too, like, well, you know, God has other things, bigger fish to fry, other things to worry about, the little stuff. And like, no, we need to, in all those things, kind of not forget God,
right.
especially in our prosperity.
Yeah.
Especially when things are going well. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately, unfortunately, it's foreshadowing of what kind of does happen, right?
Yeah,
so they
right.
forget God, or they worship other gods, and they have idols, and those become a real source of
right.
pain for God.
Right.
This people that he's
yeah.
saved are going to go into the land, and when things are going well, forget all about
right.
it.
And give the credit to some other idol or God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that idea that we forget that we are in this relationship that is all can always grow, has always possibilities and opportunities, and that we can press into those. And when things are going well, that's not a sign that, like you said, human nature is to back off and to be
mm-hmm.
less
right.
aggressive about our relationship with Christ, our intent. And so that's where we need each other and that's why this word was to the community, I think. Remind each other that you are God's people. And this is not about you having houses and crops and, mm-hmm. and wealth.
Yeah.
This is about our relationship to him. Mm-hmm. And that bigger picture of what God wanted to do with all of creation.
Right.
They kind of lost that vision that God was out to redeem, for them to be a blessing to all nations. And they were happy and they were content. And so I think we need to keep that vision that we are called to be a blessing to all people. It's not yeah. about me. I don't, you know, whether I have enough or not is not the issue. The question is, what's God doing in the world around me and in the people I encounter? How can I be part of that and keep that focus outwardly so that we can know God better and participate in what he's doing and also give some delight to his heart maybe?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to say about that for us, those of us who experience a great deal of prosperity. I think yeah. sometimes in the church people feel guilty because they have stuff.
Right.
Or don't know what to do with that. Well, the whole point is that there's a reason for it. Yeah. There's a use for it.
Right.
And so it's a time to lean in, as you're
exactly,
saying,
yeah.
lean in even more to what God's right. doing in the adventure that is yeah. you know, following God yeah. into his promise.
Yeah.
So I wonder sometimes, Walter Brueggemann basically calls it a failure of imagination. Like,
yeah.
What is our, we use the word vision, but what's our like our hope or our heart's desire for what God might do? And
right.
then just chase that.
Right.
Like what Jesus would say, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your love for God is like this intense thing.
Yeah.
And those times of prosperity give us a chance to really lean into that part of yeah. our relationship with God.
I think you talked about the sense of adventure of living out into places that we're not comfortable with or familiar with, that are awkward for us, and that we don't, you know, like we see the despair of the world and we don't have an answer, but that's not the issue. The issue is, let's get out there in it and see what God mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
And that idea of, you know, like, you know, being called out into something more.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big thing God's doing that we can be part of too? So I think prosperity and comfort, which, you know, to be honest, most of us in our church experience,
myself included,
yeah, me too,
yeah.
Can keep us from that. So we need to urge one another on toward love and good deeds.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a great word.
I love it. All right, we have another question, but we are going to wait until next week because I think we are about out of time, and I want to honor your time and your lunch. Before we go, I just want to remind you of a couple of the plugs that I've already said a couple of times today. Monday Thursday is March 29th at 6:45 in our sanctuary. We really hope that you can come out and join us for that. Wednesdays at Broadway will launch April 18th for 5 weeks, and it will be at both campuses. It'll be a safe space where we can sort of talk through and discuss, have dialogue, not debate, some tough topics that we're sort of living in, that are in the yeah. world with us right now. And so if you have topics that you would like for us to discuss, please send those in. You can comment if you haven't already. You can email those at questions@broadwayunited.org. You can also send any questions that you may have into questions@broadwayunited.org. And we hope that you will join us right back here next Wednesday for our next session of Q&R. I hope you have a great week.
Bye.